So how will Congress vote on a debt deal? And could it include higher taxes down the road?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. After congressional Republicans and Democrats and the White House all said they have a deal, the voting gets underway today. The proposal calls for at least $2.4 trillion in spending cuts over the next decade, including cuts to defense and entitlement programs in that debt deal. But many economists from across the political spectrum have said if the U.S. wants to get its debt under control, more revenues are needed. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington with the latest now. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
The Republicans insisted on no new taxes, so are they off the table in this deal?
Well, remember, the president said all along he wanted a balanced approach to this. So that's with both spending cuts and new revenue from raising taxes and changing the tax code. There's a chance we could see taxes on the table in a few months. This deal cuts $1 trillion now, but pushes the bulk of the cuts back a few months. It calls for a new special committee made up of 6 Democrats and 6 Republicans. And the idea is they'd suggest more savings, more ways to save down the line. Now, some Republicans are saying they won't appoint anyone to that committee who would support raising taxes, so this could be trouble. And besides that, Steve, it looks like raising taxes could be exceedingly difficult just under the rules of that committee.
What about the Bush tax cuts? What happens to those tax cuts now?
Well, under this deal, nothing would happen to them. You remember on December 31st, 2012, next year, all of them, from those that affect the middle class to those that affect the wealthy, they're scheduled to expire. Steve, White House officials have said that President Obama would veto any attempt to extend those cuts if there aren't broader tax reforms.
All right, but as we said, David, some say tax revenues are required to fix the budget problem. So does this deal solve anything?
Well, in a way, that's a tough one. Let's not forget what this deal would do. It would raise the debt ceiling. The U.S. would be able to pay its bills. And there will be some new caps on spending. I talked to Mark Goldwine. He's with the Committee for a Responsible Budget. And he told me he's still holding out hope we could see some tax reform soon.
There's disagreement on the number, but I think that there's increasing agreement from all parties that we want to do tax reform that broadens the base, gets rid of a lot of these loopholes and deductions and credits, and then lowers rates.
But there are a lot of ifs here still, Steve. It's up to Congress and it's up to this committee, so we'll have to see what happens.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, with details of the debt ceiling deal still coming out, no one knows for sure whether the credit rating agencies will take their fingers off the trigger that would lower the U.S.'s AAA rating. Now, while budget hawks may applaud all the cuts, the agencies, such as Moody's and S&P, may still think the U.S. debt problem is close to becoming unmanageable. Jim Milstein is an expert on corporate restructuring. He worked with the Treasury Department during the tumultuous days of the financial crisis. Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Why, if we may have a deal today, could we still be downgraded?
The deal that is to be voted on today, while it does make a modest step towards deficit reduction, it really doesn't meet the targets that the administration, the Congress, set out for itself for the country on this parameter. And as a result, you know, we've raised the rating agency's expectations as to the kind of medium-term fiscal consolidation, in their language, that we would do. And, you know, we're a little short of what they were looking for.
Let's say Moody's and S&P does downgrade the U.S. credit rating. How would you and I feel that?
You know, all other things being equal, the higher your credit rating, the lower your interest costs. So to the extent that, you know, we were to be downgraded, over time, it's likely that our interest costs will be higher than they would otherwise be. And given the size of the debt that the government is carrying, higher interest costs means less money for other things. It'll make the deficit reduction and the investment in the future of the country harder to do because we'll be spending more money on interest.
What about the political system and the difficulties that we saw there? Does that hurt our credit worthiness, too? I mean, the fact that it took so long and there's so much vitriol on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, if you look at what Standard & Poor's was focused on is the fact that we did not seem to be able to agree on, you know, having identified deficits as an issue. So the credit watch negative that S&P has put us on, it wasn't a function of the weakness of the economy or of any lingering weakness of the financial system. It was really a concern that our political leaders had lost the ability to manage the government's budget in a kind of responsible fashion.
Restructuring advisor Jim Milstein. Jim, thank you for your insight this morning.
Thanks, Steve.
And let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are mostly higher right now, an average of 1%. Relieved, a U.S. deal has been reached. HSBC Bank says it's going to cut 30,000 jobs to save money. That announced today. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 96 points to close at 12,143. For the week, the Dow lost more than 4%, although the NASDAQ lost only 0.25% last week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
The start of a new school year is mere days away, and as states grapple with tighter education budgets, some families are being asked to share more of the cost. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
In Keller, Texas, near Fort Worth, riding the bus to school used to be free. Starting this fall, public school students will have to pay $185 a semester.
This is like banks continuing to add fees. You're just going to chase the customers away eventually.
That's James Guthrie with the George W. Bush Institute in Dallas. He says school districts feeling pressed for money are passing more costs on to parents. Last year, a chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union sued the state of California over the practice. Staff attorney David Sapp says schools are charging for basics like books and supplies. Activities like band and football can cost more than $1,000.
This is essentially a tax, and it's most painful and hardest on the members of our society that can least afford it.
Sapp says these fees are illegal in California. Bus fare to and from school is one of the few fees the state allows. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Finally, the Easy Bake Oven is getting a makeover, an electric one. The Kitty Oven relied on one of those 100-watt incandescent light bulbs that burn bright and hot. That's what helped bake all those brownies and cakes. But newer compact fluorescent bulbs don't burn as hot, so the maker of the oven is reintroducing it with a new internal heating element. It may cost a little more, but you won't have to buy the extra light bulb. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.